speaking of gifts, like the fact that we even have this building to be able to assemble in and worship and have brothers and sisters in Christ just kind of rise up at a time of need is an amazing example of how the Lord gives, of how the Lord provides in ways that we sometimes can't expect or imagine. And you know, our brother Stan will be coming up and talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And so this morning we're going to be singing some songs that respond to what God has already revealed about himself as the giver. And you know, I was thinking this morning as we were remembering the Lord and the Lord's Supper, as we were taking the elements, and there's a scripture that says that, you know, love covers a multitude of sins. And there was just something very, I think, profound and powerful about that as I was considering the week that passed by, and I guess just the, you know, the different trials of life and whatnot that that come upon us. And that God, by providing his son Jesus, allows us to be adopted by him. And the thing that I was thinking about, it's like almost like because of what Christ has done, it's like when we have heard the message that Jesus Christ died for our sins and that because of that we can be adopted as sons of God, you know, it's almost like the next day, you know, we wake up in the house of God and, you know, it's Christmas morning. We come down and it's God's living room, and God has just tons of gifts to give to us. And the funny thing is that these are gifts that that enable us to give to each other, and more than just simply being a re-gift that, you know, it's like a gift that we don't want and we just give to others. It's actually a gift that we keep, but that it just abounds and how it, you know, spreads and goes on to other believers to build them up in God's kingdom building project, and just how the love of God just abounds to those who hear the word and who receive the word. And so, you know, and as we prepare our hearts to think about, you know, this loving God who has revealed himself as the Father and also revealed himself as the Son who died for us, but also revealed himself as the Spirit who makes real everything that he has done at the cross. 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 4, and Stan will be speaking more about this later. But there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. So let's start by confessing, using some of the music by some of these gifted songwriters who have also confessed and have heard the word of God and received it. Let's start with Fall on Me.
Shower me No, not by might, nor even power, but by your Spirit, O Lord. Healer of hearts, binder of wounds, lives that are lost.
Particularly this morning, I do invite you to review things coming up in the bulletin. And perhaps I'll, just read one more scripture just in preparation for, as we consider the words of 1 Corinthians 12. And, Stan will be highlighting and talking more about this. But as we prepare our hearts, let's hear more of what 1 Corinthians 12 tells us about the fact that God is our Father because of what Christ has done, and he is a God that gives gifts, not only that we might benefit, but actually that we can be prepared to be part of his glorious kingdom-building project. Yes, the body is many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not a part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. Let's continue to confess what it is that the Lord has told us. And I guess, this next song, Father of Lights, interestingly enough, it doesn't mention the Holy Spirit, but it does highlight the fact that God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Spirit, are one, and that they do work together, and that, the gifts of the Spirit that comes from the Spirit are equally that which comes from God the Father and God the Son. Let us continue in our worship.
Father of lights, you delight children. Father of light,
Father of light. Okay, start it off.
Go ahead, Alex.
I wonder if we could all stand together and sing this. We know this song. Shouldn't be new to us.
Spirit of the living.
This morning as we consider the words of the apostle as we complete what the early Christians did in praying, fellowshipping, remembering the Lord in the breaking of bread, and of course listening to the word of God as given to his apostles. Father, thank you so much for your word that not only has spoken to the very first Christians, but because of the power of your Spirit has spoken up and risen up a people for you in every generation, Lord, and in every part of the world. Thank you, Lord, for the word that you've given us that has changed our lives and the confession that we can give back to you, Lord, knowing that that you did it all. You took on your role as the Father. You also took on our role as the Son who paid for all our sins, that we can be adopted as your sons. And thank you, Lord, for the Spirit that continues to make this real to us, Lord. Help us to be faithful with what you've given us, Lord, with what you know you've given, with what we know that you've given us, and with what we're about to find out that you're going to be giving us. Prepare us, Lord, And prepare Stan, Lord, today as he speaks the word that you have spoken throughout these ages, Lord. And let our hearts, Lord, be all the more drawn to you and prepared as we go out, Lord, to go out and carry out the good works that you've prepared for us, Lord, because of your love. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
There's your rhythm sections out there.
Now you can all be seated as we conclude our musical worship.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wrong key.
The ends of the earth.
Am I in the wrong temple? You're in the wrong count temple. Me in.
Just give us a key.
It's an E.
Give us a chord.
From the ends of the earth, from the depths of the sea, from the heights of the heavens, your name be praised. From the hearts of the weak, from the shouts of the strong, from the lips of all people, this song we raise, Lord, throughout the endless ages. You will be crowned with praises, Lord. Most High, exalted in every nation, sovereign of all creation, Lord. Most High, be
thank you, and we'd like to call up Stan to bring the Word of God to us.
Abrupt end and a slow start. Today we're going to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, as we've already been told, and we're going to focus on the Holy Spirit himself. We hear a lot about the Father, and we hear a lot about the Son, and that's wonderful, but we also need to know and understand the Holy Spirit, the third person of the divine Trinity. It's interesting that the Spirit of God comes into play right at the beginning of the Bible. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it talks about creation and God's work in relation to creation, but in verse 2 of chapter 1, it talks about the Holy Spirit and the beginning of his activity to create and to bring life into things that have no life. The Holy Spirit is often called that silent partner of the Godhead, but he's certainly not without some very important things to do, and we need to understand that. Once creation was complete, the Holy Spirit began his work delivering the benefits of God to people. And so we recognize that the Holy Spirit is the one who reveals the Holy Spirit is the one who inspires. Then in the Gospel of John, chapter 14 through 16, the Lord Jesus says, the Holy Spirit is the comforter of the children of God. The Holy Spirit is the convictor of sin. The Holy Spirit is the teacher of the Word of God, bringing people to know Christ, first of all, but then teaching them about Christ in an ongoing way. The Holy Spirit is the source of power in the life of the church and in the life of believers. Last week, George told us that the Holy Spirit provides the fruit of the Spirit to us. And the things like love, joy, peace, and those graces are coming to us and being part of us because of the Holy Spirit. And in a sense, the fruit of the Spirit, as they develop in us, make us like Christ. And why we say that is there's nine of them mentioned here, nine graces, really. And if you look at them carefully and you think about the Lord Jesus as he's revealed in the Gospels, you realize that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so on are really a picture of the Lord Jesus. And so as the Spirit works in us as Christians, in terms of those spirits, he's doing what C.S. Lewis says in Mere Christianity, he's populating the world with little Christs. That's what God wants. He's so pleased with his Son, he wants all of us to be like his Son. And that's what Lewis was talking about in that very, very interesting and wonderful book that he wrote. And so if all of these things that I've already mentioned are true of the Holy Spirit, he goes beyond that. And we're going to see today that the Holy Spirit gives us gifts. Gifts. And they're tremendously important to us. The fruit of the Spirit is transforming us to be like Christ. The gifts of the Spirit are providing the opportunity and the means for us to serve Christ. So as the Spirit works in us, we become like Christ. And as the fruit of the Spirit becomes developed in us, we become those people who teach and work and demonstrate to bring people to Christ. And so these are very important things. Now, obviously you've realized already the gifts that Christians have to serve come from the Holy Spirit. We're going to read today in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, virtually exclusively. And so I'd ask you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and keep it open there, and then you can just look at it quickly. Now, 1 Corinthians 12 is a kind of change in Paul's work with the Corinthians. Up till now, he's been talking to them about mistakes that they're making. And he's trying to correct them, and up till chapter number 12, the mistakes all have to do with carnality. They have to do with misbehavior. They have to do with the Christian who isn't quite what God wants them to be. Now, in chapter number 12, he begins to talk about something different. It's still a problem as far as the Corinthians are concerned, but it's a different kind of problem. And many translators, when they're looking at this passage, it starts out saying, now about spiritual gifts. They have now about spiritualities, because the correction begins to come now about the Corinthian spiritual life and their attitude towards the service and the spiritual and the relationship with God life that they ought to have. So there's just that little shift in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So let's read verse 1, chapter 12. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute or dumb idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So he begins to talk about the Holy Spirit, and he begins to bring us face to face with the reality of what is really the power of day-to-day Christian living and service for Christ. The word gift is a Greek word, charisma, and it means things like gratuities, endowments, free gifts, emphasis on free gifts. The Holy Spirit is the one who's involved in all of that. Now, let's just read on there. He comes, like he kind of begins talking about what the Corinthians were. He said, you were pagans, and you came under the influence of dumb idols. And of course, that's true. And just like that's true of the Corinthians, it's true of us. Every Christian at one time was a pagan. Unrelated in any special way to God. And so we were pagans. And we also, of course, were caught up with things that were dumb. Not spirits necessarily, but there's an awful lot of dumb things that we experienced and had in our lives. So these things are coming before us and brought before us. Now the Corinthians are Christians. This group that he's writing to, they're Christians. They're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and they need to begin to really come to understand what all that means. And we need to come to understand what that means too. So let's read in verse number 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. So what he's saying here is these gifts come to us, and they are important, and they they have a commonality to it. And let's just read verse number 7. All these are works of one and the same Spirit. He gives them each one just as he determines. So the gifts that come from the Holy Spirit are related in a special way to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And of course, he tells us very clearly here that God determines what gift we have. And that there's a commonality to it in terms of good. The gifts are for the common good, he says. Now, they're common good for the recipient. Each Christian, as they receive gifts from the Holy Spirit, are benefited by it. It's the way they grow. It's the way they develop into Christ-likeness. It has to do with service and focus. So gifts are important for us, the recipients. Gifts are important for the church. And in fact, gifts are given for service to the church. They're important for the church and for individual Christians because of the teaching involved, the unity created, the growth developed, direction, and so on. And then the gifts are for the common good of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You see, God the Father is the person in the Godhead who develops the plan. The Lord Jesus Christ is the person in the Godhead who makes those plans reality. The Holy Spirit is the person who delivers the result of Christ's life to us so that we are the kind of people God wants us to be in the world. So the gifts are for the common good of the Lord, of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then, of course, they're for the common good of the non-Christian world. Unbelievers, mankind in general. You see, some people have a special gift of evangelism, of compassion, of generosity. Those are gifts of the Spirit. And those people have a certain kind of boldness about telling people about the Lord Jesus and seeking to lead them to Christ. And then, of course, we have to realize we may not have the gift of the evangelism, but we have Christ in our heart, and it's the responsibility of all of us to share. My brother-in-law has gone home to be with the Lord, Bill Tidsbury, but he was a gifted evangelist, and he had the kind of boldness and love for people that made him really witness. I was with him once on the street, and we were walking along, and we saw this fellow standing there, a tough-looking guy, and so Bill started talking to him about Christ, talking to him about his need of a Savior, and the fellow was responding to him and asking questions and so on like that. And then all of a sudden the guy seemed to lose interest. And so Bill said to him, he said, "You know, you really have only two choices to make. You either can accept Christ as Savior or you can go to hell." And I said to myself, "Bill, this guy's going to hit you." But he didn't. And who knows? You know, who knows what the result was? But that's the gift of evangelism in a special kind of way. It's not sort of my form of evangelism, but nevertheless, he had the opportunity to lead many, many people to Christ, and it was a wonderful kind of thing. Now, in case we're not, the Corinthians are not getting this that Paul is talking about, he comes up with an illustration that is tremendously appropriate for it, and now we'll turn over to chapter 12, verse 14. Rennie read some of this already. 1 Corinthians 12, 14. Now the body is not made up of one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Now, he's not talking here about the body of Christ, the church. He's talking about our human bodies. He's saying our bodies are one. They're a unit, but they have all kinds of parts. And in a sense, that's what he's already been saying as far as the body of Christ is concerned. The church is the body of Christ, as you realize. The scripture talks about that quite often. And so he's taking the human body as an illustration of how the church and gifts actually work in being from the same source and being one in a very real sense, but having all kinds of different important parts based on what the gifts of the different individuals are. The body is made up of many parts. And God's arranged them. And he's done a pretty good job. I think myself, if I have a job of arranging something, I forget something. But God doesn't. We have our eyes in the front of our head. We have our feet on the bottom of our body and all of the other parts where they ought to be. And it works. The body works. Each part works together. Some of us are older, don't have all our parts, but nevertheless, our bodies are still work. You saw me walking up here. That tells you that it still works. You know, you think you think that what a disaster it would be if God hadn't done a good job. You know, he's kind of pretending here that the eye and hands and stuff can talk. Well, if they could talk, the eyes and the ears and so on are very thankful that they're not somewhere behind the knee. Or if they were, of course, everybody would have to wear short pants and short skirts. Otherwise, we'd be in serious trouble. So the illustration that Paul's using is doesn't need any defense. Because the Corinthians all have bodies, we all have bodies, and we know how they work. And we appreciate the way it works and feel badly, of course, when it quits. So he's making a point here which is tremendously important, and that is exactly what the gifting of the Spirit is about in relation to the body of Christ. So everyone is placed in the position that God wants them to be and with the gifts that God wants them to have. And those are important points. Now, like a lot of other things, and you see it through the Old Testament continually, and you see it in the New Testament as well, and you see it in action in the world today, whenever there is something good, it's possible for human beings to mess it up. And so you see that in Corinth, and we just want to mention it because the gifts of the Spirit are gifts. And one of the things the Corinthians had trouble with as far as gifts are concerned was pride. The idea that their giftedness gave them a kind of superiority. And Paul really goes after them about that, because after all, they're gifts, gratuities, free gifts from the Holy Spirit. And therefore, pride can't possibly enter into it. The key word about gifts is the word given. If we earned them, or if somehow we got them by paying for them or something, maybe we could be, oh, well, that's good, I've done this. But the thing of it is, we haven't. So there's no place for pride, no occasion for pride. We have what God decided to give us. And if God's decided to give us a certain gift, evangelism or helping people or whatever, it's the right thing for us, and we have to understand that. Then there were other people in Corinth who had a kind of gift, and they instead of using it in the right way, they're using it to give them status in the church, to make them an important person in the church and a leader and so on. And some gifts create leaders, but the status is not the purpose for the gifts. And back in the Gospels, in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, the Lord is talking to his disciples, and they kind of had that problem too. And they were saying to themselves, now, wouldn't it be nice if in heaven my brother and I sat on the right and left hand of Christ? Well, that's kind of a nice aspiration. But Jesus said this. I'll just read it to you. He says, you know that those regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be a servant. And then he says this, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom. Gifts are not for status. Gifts are for service. And that's something that we need to remember as well. And then, of course, there was the third problem where somebody had a gift that they didn't like. They saw it as insignificant, or and began to think of themselves or think to themselves, now, I'd prefer to have this gift or that gift. And so they basically, when that happens, you end up not using your gift, but abusing gifts because, of course, you're trying to be something that you aren't able to be. So the neglect of gifts, because they're not just as glorious as you'd like to have or we would like to have, it's just wrong. Paul says in these passages, he says, covet earnestly, desire earnestly the best gift. And reading this over and thinking about it, of course, brings a question to your mind, what are the best gifts? What are the best gifts? Well, the best gifts, obviously, are the gifts that help the most people. And often, the gifts in the Christian church that help the most people are those background kind of gifts. Encouragement. Comfort. The sense of coming along beside someone and helping them to understand something of the Word of God. Or rebuke or correction. These kinds of background, these kinds of quiet, spoken words and service to people are the things that do more good than anything else at all. And yet, those gifts sometimes are despised because they are private, because they are background, and there isn't the potential there of glory. You say, well, Christians shouldn't be thinking of that. They shouldn't be, but they do. We do. I do. And I think that we need to learn from that. There's all kinds of gifts in that category, and very, very few that relate to anything particularly public. And so we have to recognize that this is what Jesus is talking about very clearly here. Now, or Paul is talking about. Now, having said all that, I want to just bring it home to ourselves. I was going to say here at Bethel, but I'll say here at the Salvation Army Hall, with the hope and prayer that we're going to be back home pretty soon. I guess I better not give an admonition about that. Thinking of our own assembly here, our group, every person who's a believer in the Lord Jesus has a gift. You folks here, whether you think about it every day or once a month or not at all, you have gifts. You have a gift from the Holy Spirit. That gift has been selected to match you. And it's been given to you when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. But I think that giftedness goes beyond that a little bit. They suit us. Our gifts suit us. And that's tremendously important. Whether you're a child who's a believer in the Lord Jesus, whether you're a young person who's a believer in the Lord Jesus, a man or a woman or Even if you're an old person, you have gifts given to you by the Holy Spirit to do a kind of thing, a kind of work for Christ that suits your situation. And that's something we need to remember, and it's important. And, of course, gifts need consideration, and they need development, and they need use. And, as I said, they fit us. Some gifts are needed in relation to the help of a lot of different people. Others are more specific and relate to perhaps a smaller group of people too. But it's important to realize that we all have gifts. And I think that we recognize that there's a world out there that needs help in terms of our giftedness, but there is a church fellowship that we belong to where people need help and encouragement and blessing and teaching and so on too, and we have to understand that. God has placed everybody in the body where he determined they ought to be. We read that. We've spent 4 weeks already away from our home building. And I think it was a wonderful thing that we were able to use this building, but I think that we really are experiencing, I know that I am up to a point, a kind of disconnect. It's like being on holidays. First little while you think that's great. But home looks very good. Home looks very good. And so I think that we're experiencing a kind of disconnect. And we're going to have to, when we get home, reconnect. Some people haven't been able to come because of the configuration of the building and so on. It just hasn't been sensible for them to come. And others have felt maybe they're on a holiday. But anyhow, we have a situation that is, it has the opportunity to be harmful to us as a church. And I think there's a person existing who likes to exploit that sort of thing. And that person is Satan. He would like very much to use this situation that we've had to his own advantage. And we can't let that happen. And so the thing I suppose I want to say is that we need each other. We need each other. And there's no doubt about it. And we need the gifts that you have. I need the gifts that you have, and you have the need the gifts that I have. And so as we hopefully go back home for next Sunday, we'll understand that this is kind of like a new beginning, and that we will realize the privileges we have as Christians, being part of a body that's made up by God. Part of a body that's made up for God. Satan can't get victory over the church unless we let him. And so we have to be aware that he's very interested in what's happening here. And he's very concerned that perhaps we'll not suffer by it. I hope we don't. But we need to be aware that we can. And so, in closing, that's the admonition. But the thing that we, I suppose, need to go out home with in our minds, we have to be so tremendously thankful for the Holy Spirit. Every wonderful thing that has happened to us in our lives, spiritually particularly, and as Christians, is his work. And sometimes we forget. We say, thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross, and thank you, Father, for your provision for us. We need to be saying more often, thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you do. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we give thanks that we're able to be together here. We thank you for these folks that meet in this building and ask that you would bless them in their services and in their service for you. But Father, we pray that you would just overrule with regard to our return to the chapel, and that you would just undertake. And we ask for those who haven't been able to come, that they might not be discouraged, but that they might realize that we are praying for them and we are interested in them, and we ask that you would draw them back to the fellowship again. And so, Father, just bless us as we go home, and we thank you for the plan you made. We thank you for the way our human body works, and we thank you for the way that the church body works. But, Father, we know that Paul's illustration tells us one important thing, is that each part needs each other. And Father, each part of this church needs each other. And we just thank you that's available, that we are one body in Christ, and may we trust and help and serve each other. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.